Father, in this time now, Lord, we need you to speak. We need you to take your word, to multiply it to us. Lord, we need an answer from above, not from us, but in your wisdom, in your perfect will, and in your perfect plan. And Lord, as we open your word now, I pray that our hearts, our ears, our minds would be engaged. That Lord, that we might do what pleases you. And we might see you work in a mighty way in our hearts and lives. And we thank you for what you're going to do through your Spirit. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. As you're being seated, our kids are going to be dismissed for Kids Connect. A time for them in the Word together. And this morning we are going to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3 as we are looking to the fall and everything that's upcoming. I wanted to take this opportunity this morning to look at a passage of Scripture to really help us recalibrate, refocus, look at what we have before us coming up in this fall and what we can do to continue to grow. How can we keep growing? How can we keep going? In 1988, in the Summer Olympics in Seoul, Korea, there had been some rivalry building in the 100 meters. Carl Lewis was a perennial favorite, always fast, always at the front of the group. And then there was this Canadian sprinter by the name of Ben Johnson, who had come on the scene here in the few years prior, been making some waves, been winning some races in the world championships, been setting some records. And they were headed for this big showdown in the 1988 Olympics. And they all got set and got the time was then, and the race happened. And at the end, Ben Johnson sprinted to a gold medal. Ben Johnson had been training so hard. He'd been doing all these different things, and it had happened so quickly. A lot of questions were coming up, but man, he was becoming famous. It was said that he had endorsement deals that were bringing in $480,000 a month in endorsements. I'd voice some products too, I think. And so his success was rising and he was gaining all this notoriety. He was setting these new records and it started to cause people to take notice. 3 days after that gold medal race, it was found that he had steroids in his system. Gold medal stripped. Gone. So many times we are anxious in how we start that we forget about how to finish. And here was this athlete, he built up so much and he got off to such a start. He did whatever it took to get into this place. But yet the finish is what is important. When we're looking here in 1 Thessalonians, we're seeing a letter of Paul to a growing church. The church at Thessalonica had a very interesting start, and it was growing like crazy. I love the words that are used to describe it. Because as Paul had come there, he had been there 3 weeks, he was teaching. This church rises up, people are getting saved. So much so that there is persecution that begins. So they start coming after Paul and the people that are harboring Paul and the enemies of the cause of Christ. Notice what they said in Acts 17. They said this, and when they could not find them, they dragged Jason and some of the brothers before the city authorities, shouting, "These men who have turned the world upside down have come here also." Isn't that a great way to be described? These men that are turning the world upside down. Paul was a world changer. He was bringing something for the cause of Christ. There was life change that was happening in Thessalonica. This church was growing. It was exciting to see what God was doing. If you read the first part of this letter, Paul is praising, hey, you received the word, and then from you the word was sounding forth. It's going out. There's a lot of thanksgiving that Paul is giving that you, hey, you've taken the word, you took the teaching that we brought, you're doing something with it, and something's happening. Now I want you to see in chapter 3, what does Paul want to see happen in their lives? What does he want to see them continue with? Notice in chapter 3, verse 11. This is a prayer that Paul has for him and these people. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. He then begins to turn the rest of the letter into some application, and he really fleshes out what this looks like as it continues to go on. But here in this prayer, we see how Paul is praying for their now, for their later, for what was upcoming. And I want you to see three things in this prayer that Paul is praying for that would be a reminder for us, that would help us recalibrate, that would help us refocus on our first two loves, loving God, loving others. The vision we looked at the beginning of this year. What do we need to continue to grow so that we might finish the way that we need to? The first thing I want you to see is to value time with God's people. Value time with God's people. Notice verse 11. It says, now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you. The first part of Paul's prayer, he is asking God for this request for himself. May God direct us to you. I want to be with you. I want to come see you. It is so easy, and in today's time frame and in today's scheduling, for us to let time with God's people be the thing that's easily pushed out. But Paul, when you see his heart, when you see his desire, he is wanting that time with God's people. And it's not just, you see, you're just pulling this out of this. No, I want you to see why it's so. Look back in chapter 2, verse 17, as he's going through this thanksgiving. Notice verse 17. But since we were torn away from you, brothers, for a short time in person, not in heart, we endeavored the more eagerly and with great desire to see you face to face, because we wanted to come to you. I, Paul, again and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope or our joy or our crown of boasting before the Lord Jesus at his coming? Is it not you? For you are our glory and our joy. Notice how Paul says there, with great desire, I want to see you face to face. Notice chapter 3, verse 10, just before this prayer. As we pray most earnestly night and day that we may see you face to face and supply what is lacking in your faith. Paul, all throughout this letter, is showing us this desire. And so here at the first part of his prayer for this Thessalonian church that is growing, he says, I want to be with you. I want to value time with you. If we love each other so much, why is it so hard to get us together? Value time with God's people. Because people were the purpose. That's what he said in chapter 2, verse 19. What is our hope? What is our joy or our crown of boasting before the Lord Jesus at his coming? Is it not you? You are our glory and our joy. Value time with God's people. Because it helps to build up each other. In chapter 3, verse 10, that's what he was saying. I want to see you face to face so I can supply what is lacking in your faith. Spending time with God's people allows us to be around people that are walking the same walk, that are going down some of the similar journeys. And it's amazing to me the stories that we find, the testimonies that we find of connections of people back and forth, how God has worked in this life and how God has worked in this life and how this person has gone through what this person's going through now and what that person went through now down the road. They're going to be able to help with this person over here. And God in His wisdom said, I want there to be a church, not a building, a people that are gathered, that are meeting together to be there with each other, to lift each other up, to challenge each other, to pray for one another, to love one another, and together to be on mission so that other people might see the love that I've had for them in them. Value time with God's people, because it's also a reminder of the hope and the love that we have in Jesus Christ. The writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. So much the more. As we see this culture around us, as we see what's happening around us, it's easy to complain about what's going on in our lives. It's easy to complain about what's going on in our world. But if that is the complaint, then that should drive us to the Lord. So many times we want to be culture complainers that we forget to be culture changers. And we can do that together. Value time with God's people. I want the Lord to direct our way to you. I want to be with you. I'm not there because Satan is hindering us. But I want to be there in their life. In photography, a tool that we use from time to time is called cropping. Maybe some of you are familiar with it. Or maybe you take a picture that is larger than what you were expecting, and you got more in your field than what you want. So you take this tool of cropping and you bring the picture in so you can put it on the right focus. Back in our 10-year anniversary, Nicole and I had a chance to get away to Cancun for a little bit to celebrate our anniversary, and we were out there on the beach, and I was just getting into photography, and I was loving it, and I wanted to get a picture of looking from behind Nicole out through this beautiful turquoise beach. And so we're sitting there, and I got this picture of Nicole and these two people right there swimming in the waves. So I come back, and I start looking at the computer, and you know what? I was able to crop, and I was able to bring it in. In fact, I was able to take them whole out and put in just waves and all this fun stuff. It looked like they were never there. You know what, I'm afraid that it is very easy for us that when we start cropping things in our life, guess what's usually the first thing that gets cropped? Our time with God's people. And when you crop, you're cropping because you want to focus on one thing. And you want to focus on this certain aspect, and this that you're cropping out is taking away from that aspect. And by our lives, so many times we show the value of God's people when we crop it out. When instead, why can't other things be cropped out to where time with God's people is elevated? Paul had a heart for his people. He wanted to see them continue to grow, so much so he says, I want to be with you. Value time with God's people. Secondly, constantly improve in love. Look at verse 12. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all. Now what's interesting is Paul is using some verbs here in a certain tense that are used a lot of times in the New Testament for prayers. And the verb tense has an idea of a mental knowledge, a mental recognition with an idea of fulfillment, with an idea of action behind it. And the verbs here that he uses in verse 12, as he's praying, may the Lord make you increase and abound in love. These two verbs, increase and abound, are synonyms, and they are bringing an emphasis. The language is very vivid. And Paul is doing this on purpose because he is wanting to show a sense of excelling, abounding, constantly growing, constantly improving. He's using two words that mean the same thing in this verb, in this tense, so that it might be intensified, that it might be emphasized. I want you to keep going. I want you to keep growing. I want you to constantly improve in love for one another and for all. I want this to overflow. I want this to go above, beyond any limits. And notice the direct object there. For one another. He says, I want your love to continue to grow for one another. The Thessalonian church was knowing persecution. We saw it there in Acts chapter 17. They were coming after them because they were messing up their societal norms. Even changing the pagan worship that was happening, the different idolatries, all this stuff, it was changing. They were making noise in that town, and so much so they were coming after them. They were dragging them out in the streets. They were going through persecution, and Paul says, hey, in the midst of all this, you need to grow. You need to keep going. Keep loving one another. Don't sit back on what's already been done, but continue to grow. Continue to abound in this love for one another. But does it stop there? Increase, abound, overflow. Don't set limits of love for one another and for all. You know, that all really would resonate with that church. Wait, Paul, there's some people I don't like. In fact, they drug me out in the street last week. They tried to kill me. What do you mean by all? I want you to constantly improve, increase, set no limits. I want you to grow in love for one another. That's the easy part that we make hard. But I also want you to do it for all. Because what counters a hate-filled society? The love of Jesus Christ. We can find it all over us. We can find it all over our society. You can look on Twitter. People are waiting to troll people. If you don't know what that means, trolling means that you jump on and you just start hammering people from a distance from the safety of your computer. You start with the negative comments. You start ripping people. And we see this constantly of people trolling people, of the hate that we see being spread all around. It should be not be named amongst the church that Jesus Christ has set up. I want you to be constantly improving. I want you to set no limits of love for one another and for all. Never stop improving. And I think it's interesting that this prosperity that Paul wants to see in love, this is what Paul was focusing on. You know what he didn't say? I want you to increase and abound in blessings. Wait a minute. I want you to increase and abound financially. I want you to increase and abound in health. What was Paul focused on? I want you to increase and abound in love, in relationship, for one another and for those that are outside. Spiritual ambition of love. What prosperity are we focused on? What are we trying to grow in constantly? Because if we're going to be world changers, if we're going to be those that turn the world upside down, it's going to be by us constantly improving in love. Because if it's all about us getting blessings, this world out here is not going to see Jesus. We need to show them the love that is constantly growing in us. You know, this week school has started. Hayden's in high school now. I can't believe his mom's getting up there. And Hayden's starting freshman football, and I have to admit, I have to contain myself. Because, you know, playing football, I just want to get into it. I love it. I'd love to see him in it. And it brings back a lot of memories. And after the scrimmage the other day, we were walking back to the car, and there was a two-man sled sitting there. And Hayden said, yeah, we hit those every day. To which, you know, me and his pop decided to say, oh, two-man, you know, back in the good old days, we used to hit the seven-man sled. And if you don't know what that is, there is it's a sled with these dummies on the front. Maybe it's profound for football players. I don't know. Seven pads, seven dummies on the front of this sled. And the offensive linemen line up in front of it. And when the coach blows the whistle, says hut, whatever it might be, moves the football, you practice your form of coming off and hitting the dummy. And you would hit the sled. And the goal was to get you to chop your feet so that you could drive the sled. And now, I played in Florida, and our practice field was made up of grove sand, that sugar sand. And the coaches loved to have that seven-man sled right in the middle of that sugar sand. If you turned that thing the wrong angle and the back of that thing dipped down, guess where it was going? It was going straight down into the dirt. You weren't going anywhere. So you had to get low. You had to get the right angle. You had to get the right force and everything. And all seven of you had to hit it at the right time and everything together to move it across that sand. And so it was one thing to get the right form, to hit it, to lock up, to be driving it. But then the coaches are standing on the sled, holding on to the sled. And you're like, all right, blow that whistle, coach. But that's not what the coach is doing. He's standing on that thing and he's saying, drive, 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 keep going, keep going, don't stop, keep going, don't stop, keep driving, keep pushing, keep going, you're burning, you're dead, your muscles are about to fall off. Drive, 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 keep going. Because in the fourth quarter, you're going to want to finish strong. You're going to want to have the muscles to keep driving, to keep pushing, to keep going. And when Paul says, I want you to increase and I want you to abound in love for one another and for all, he's telling the Thessalonians, hey, keep going, keep driving, keep pushing, keep going forward, keep loving, don't quit, don't stop, keep growing. Because you want to finish strong. Constantly improve in love. And then thirdly, live as before Christ. Notice verse 13. So that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. He says, what are you doing? I'm praying this. I want to see you grow in this. I want to see you continue to grow. I want to see you value this time with one another. I want you to improve in love. I want you to continue to grow because there's coming a day when you're going to stand before Jesus. Live as before Jesus. He describes it as establishing your hearts. The establishment there, the word is bringing the idea of taking courage. Of having the right foundation of your hearts, of your center, of your being, of who you are. Bringing that stability, not the wishy-washy, not the back and forth, not the up and down. But through Christ, we can have stability for each and every day. So that He may establish you. That He may do it. That God may work in your life. To establish your hearts, to bring that courage through holiness. He uses the modifier blameless to add to this idea of holiness, to bring about this idea of purity. I think too many times we forget the standard that we're shooting for, and the character and the nature of who God is that holiness. That we live as if God is watching. To be blameless in holiness so that we can show others Christ before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The word there for the coming is a word that's used throughout the New Testament that means so much to us. We think of the parousia, the coming of the Lord Jesus. Oh, we look forward to that day, don't we? Don't we look forward to that day when He's going to come back? When all the sin is righted and wronged is gone. When healing takes place, when we are transformed. But understand that when He does come back, we will stand before Him. That the books will be opened. To see whose name is listed in the Lamb's book of life. Who has the relationship with Him. And then we as believers, even as we stand before Him, our works are put on display. Some are burnt up as wood, hay, and stubble. Some are seen as precious stones and gems to be added to a crown. But there we are before Christ, the judgment seat, the bema seat. Live as before Christ. This is known as the audience of one. That this morning you can live to impress a lot of people. You can live to impress your bosses. You can live to impress your family. You can live to impress your friends, your coworkers, your peers, your neighbors. But there's one that matters for all eternity. The audience of one. And when we live for His glory and we live for His honor, that whether therefore we eat, drink, or whatsoever we do for the glory of God. We are living before Him so He can establish our hearts, so He can produce the blameless and holiness, so that we can stand at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, in this prayer, is fleshing out what he's going to continue to teach in the rest of the letter. But what we see here is, I want you to continue to grow. I want you to keep going. Chapter 4, he's going to call it the will of God for your sanctification, for your process of holiness. He's going to talk about their love for one another. I want you to see it continue to abound more and more, is what he says in chapter 4. I want you to keep growing. I want you to change the now to finish strong later. Change the now to finish strong later. Don't quit. Don't stop. The Apostle Paul is that coach that's saying, don't give up, keep going, keep fighting, keep pushing, keep allowing God to do the work in us and grow us so that we can finish strong. In 1968, the Olympics were in Mexico. And there was a Tanzanian marathon runner who was not adjusted to the altitude change. The gun went off for the marathon and John took off running in a pack. Even right off the bat, his lungs were beginning to burn because of the altitude. And there in the first third of the race, there was kind of a scrum and a bunch of the runners went down, John included. He hit the pavement, he dislocated his knee, he scraped it all up, crushed his shoulder. the medics came out, gave some attention. A third of the runners didn't finish the race. John got bandaged up, picked himself up, and began to limp through the rest of the race. It was over an hour after the rest of the runners had finished and the gold medal had been awarded, and the crowd began to stand up because here came John from Tanzania in the stadium. He ran, limping, bandaged up, and he finished the race. To which when they got there and the crowd was cheering, they were lifting him up. They said, John, why did you do this? He said, my country did not send me 5,000 miles to start a race. They sent me to finish. We change the now because there's going to be a finish one day. And there's going to be a time when we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we value time together. Because there's a lot of things that are competing for your time. There's a lot of things that are going on. That's why we constantly improve in love for one another and for all, because all will stand before Jesus. We live in that audience of one. So this morning, maybe we need to recalibrate, to refocus, to do what Isaiah says in Isaiah 40:31, those that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. And maybe this morning we change the now so we can finish strong later. Shall we stand? This morning, as we stand with our heads bowed, I want to ask you this morning, when it comes to that later, will your name be found in the Lamb's Book of Life? Has there ever been that time where you have personally taken what Jesus has done for you and applied it to your life? That you've realized that He died on a cross to pay for your sins. That He has done the work that you could not do to have the life you could not have. This morning, do you need to know Jesus as your personal Savior? In just a moment, we're going to sing. We're going to have a time of response. And if you need to know Jesus as your personal Savior, to make sure that your name is in that Lamb's Book of Life so that you can spend eternity with Christ and not separated in an everlasting hell. This morning, I want to encourage you, just meet me down here. I'll be down front. Brother Andrew's down here. We would love to show you how to know Jesus as your personal Savior. And if you know Jesus as your Savior this morning, as you see this prayer from Paul, can I ask you, just evaluate, what are you cropping out of your life this morning? What are you focusing on? Are you improving in love, or is it the same? What have you learned new about God? How have you grown? We want to help you do that. But this morning, we have to decide it ourselves, that this is what I'm going to do. the altar's going to be open, that if you need to come and just talk to the Lord and say, I need this in my life, it's here for you. But during this response time, this should be a time that is valued, because it's a time where we appropriate what God is doing in our hearts and lives. And we respond. And so as we sing this morning, what is God calling you to do? Our Father, I pray now that you would take control of our hearts and lives. Help us, Lord, to change the now so that we can finish strong. I thank you for what you do in our hearts. In Jesus' name.